Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams, as well as a special guest, Ed Moyle, Senior Security Strategist at Savvis, as well as one of the founding partners of Security Curve. Hi, Ed. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
So I know we're going to be discussing mobile malware today, which is certainly a topic that's received a lot of interest recently. But before we do that, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a longtime veteran of information security. I've been doing this now for 17 plus years and really certainly enjoy that. I kind of have a little bit of a technical bent, just having come up the ranks from the development side. So a focus on malware there. The work that I do for Savvis is consulting for, you know, any number of organizations pretty much globally that are looking to improve their overall security posture. In terms of the work that I do with Security Curve, I do quite a lot of public speaking, blogging, just general community outreach, just helping folks who are in a practitioner role understand the space and the industry.
Great. Well, we're certainly glad you could join us today and know that you're very familiar with security. And so to start, you know, mobile malware is a topic receiving a lot of attention, and it seems like we might be at a tipping point here where we could start seeing large-scale malware. What are your takes on this?
Well, so my thinking on this is, just to give you kind of a little bit of a background about myself, I'm one of these people, I've kind of been very skeptical about malware on devices like smartphones, iPhone, Droid, that kind of thing. I've been critical about it in the past because of the fact that we haven't really seen, I think, an environment that would forward that, right? So if, you know, in terms of my blog, for example, our records go back to 2005, and as far back as our records go, I've kind of been, you know, critical of some of the folks that have said, you know, that mobile malware is coming. But, you know, in general, now I think we might be on a tipping point of where it might get more prevalent. And the reason that I say that, I don't necessarily think that the characteristics of the devices have changed, but I do think that, so there's a lesson that you can take away from immunology in the physical world when you look at, what they call herd immunity, which is, if you have a certain segment of the population that is immune to a particular disease, then it can't spread. So I think we're there from a ubiquity of mobile devices. So like Droid and iOS, when you look at kind of where they are, I think we're at the tipping point. That's just my take on it. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts, though.
From the security side, what are you guys seeing in the labs?
Well, and we're seeing a continued growth of mobile malware, especially on the Symbian platform, which has, you know, been the biggest attack vector. Most of the mobile malware attacks have been against the Symbian platform. And Ed's correct. It hasn't been massive. It hasn't been wide scale at this point. It's probably been on the noise level of like 1983 PC viruses, where, you know, the vast majority of the population had a really good chance of not having a problem even if they weren't running security software. But, you know, for the past few years, I've been saying that it isn't so much a homogeneous mobile environment as it's going to be the killer app. And so the users are going to be attacked through the application, not necessarily through the device itself. And, you know, what we're seeing with Android and to some extent iPhone-based attacks is that the killer app right now for the criminal element is SMS, which is trans-platform. It doesn't matter what mobile device you're using, you can get attacked with SMS messages in the sense that you can be tricked into calling premium SMS numbers.
Yeah, that is a good point. Just following along that same point, one of the things that's particularly interesting to me is the extent to which the phone, particularly again the Droid and the iPhone are being used as a provider of authentication services. We are typically in the security community tend to focus on corporate information and access to corporate data. But from an attack standpoint, you know, if you look at something like Blizzard, the Blizzard Authenticator, for example, how many folks are using that on their mobile device? It's quite a large number. So, you know, when you look at kind of the phishing side of things, where folks might, you know, see attacks against a service, you know, to try to spoof the user into, you know, into submitting the wrong thing, or you know, right, from a rogue app standpoint, I mean, that's something that I think is potentially unmined from a criminal standpoint.
Do you think, Ed, that users are more susceptible to fall for those type of attacks on a mobile device versus a PC?
I mean, I think they are, because they're not used to seeing that. They're not used, right, to seeing the mobile device being used as a vector for attack. Whereas they're more used, they're skeptical of it. If they, you know, if you get an email from somebody, for example, right, in you know, in your Gmail or whatever, that says, "Hey, click this link and enter your, you know, your battle.net username and password, you know, or your authentication information from your mobile device," your chances are you're not going to do that, right? Because you're trained to be skeptical. But on your phone, because of the fact that it is less tapped from a, you know, from a bad guy standpoint, you know, it could be that you're more likely to respond to that. I mean, you know, Randy, do you concur?
Yeah, I think people have not been conditioned to realize that their Android, their iPhone, it's not a telephone. It's a computer that happens, right, to be able to make phone calls. And
right,
they don't
point.
Realize that they're using a PC event, essentially.
Do we feel then that this is kind of the year? I mean, we've certainly started seeing examples of malware, of mobile malware. When do you think it's going to reach the point, and when will it become an awareness factor for the end user?
I think if you look at the growth history, I think you see a curve as far as increased prevalence. But I don't know that you see... I don't think it's going to necessarily be the same kind of exponential curve that we've seen in some of the other spaces. You know, so for example, in the PC world and so forth. I do think that it will be a very quick event. I think that, you know, we'll see kind of the comm warriors of the world that we've seen up until now, and a kind of a slow growth. But I honestly think we're going to have a little bit less warning, because at least with – and I don't mean to scare anybody. I mean, the goal is not – I'm not trying to propagate FUD or anything like that, right? I'm just saying that I think that with the PC – in the PC world, it was new, right? The bad guys had to learn how to do a lot of the things that, you know, they quite frankly know how to do already. And what has been keeping them from, I think, attacking as fruitfully as they could the mobile space is the fact that there just wasn't that ubiquity that right, Randy was talking about earlier. And, you know, as we, you know, if you look at some of the usage statistics and just the breakdown of the population, you know, you'll see that we're kind of, there's a lot more ubiquity now in the mobile space than there used to be as far as specific platforms. So a lot more Droid, a lot more iOS. And when it gets to kind of that critical mass where there's nothing really holding back the malware from propagating from a herd immunity standpoint, and then the, you know, nothing holding back the bad guys, they've learned all these tricks on the PC that they can apply to the mobile space. I think we'll hit a singularity where it's just going to be a large event. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, and so I think it could be soon. I think it could be 2011 or 2012. And the reason I'm bringing it up, again, is not to scare anybody, but just so that I think it's helpful for us to think about this and prepare.
Right. And yeah, certainly, you know, user education and user awareness is going to be key. But what else will be needed for protecting these devices then?
Well, there's a variety of ways of protecting it. I think that, you know, regardless of what protections users implement, the thing that's going to, you know, save the bacon of the people that don't get hit by a widespread event is that they were selective in what applications they installed on their smartphones, and they right, only installed applications that actually had a significant value to their productivity, whether you're measuring productivity from a corporate standpoint or a quality of life standpoint. It wasn't that they just installed everything that looked pretty and shiny and was the rave on the message boards. It was they installed things that actually enriched their lives or their productivity and didn't just widespread install all kinds of crap, because that's the stuff that's going to end up being attacked.
You don't use Facebook apps either.
No, I don't use any Facebook apps at all.
No, but I think you raise a good point, right? Which is the fact that do we need all of this stuff on our phones? And if our phones are the new PC, then maybe we should think about what we install. But unfortunately, I think the reality is that a lot of users are going to install just basically whatever. And, right. You know, I mean, particularly, you know, in the case of the Droid, they might, you know, just that market is wide open. I mean, they might be installing, they could potentially install some malware. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good framework around which folks can innovate. I mean, there's certainly interest in this, obviously, from the anti-malware standpoint, you know, the vendors out there that sell that stuff. So, you know, a good opportunity for innovation.
Well, Ed, thanks so much for being a special guest on today's show and discussing this topic further. If you'd like additional news and the latest information, feel free to take a look at Ed's blog at securitycurve.com. If you have any additional questions on this topic, you can ask Randy at askeset@eset.com. You can also find ESET and like them on Facebook for the latest security news. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.